everybody, and welcome to episode number 27 of Girl Fight. My name is Nicole Tanner, and I am your host. Today, I am joined by Megan Sullivan,
Whatcha?
Jessica Chobot,
hey guys,
and Dana Jungleward.
Hello.
Unfortunately, Ms. Steimer is really busy, as it is that time of year in the game industry, so she won't be joining us today. So it's just the four of us. Before we get started, quick note, next week, Tuesday, is when the Supreme Court will be hearing oral arguments in the
Also election day.
Yes, it is election day as well. The Schwarzenegger versus, what is it, EMA?
EMA.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Entertainment Merchants Association. So there's lots of stuff going on, one of which is a big rally outside the Supreme Court building on that day. So if you live in the D.C. area, go out and show your support for video games. And the ECA is also has an online petition that you can sign.
I also noticed that they have tips as to how to approach this type of a rally,
mm-hmm.
Which I thought was very, because you don't want to just go in there and give these people be a jerk and give these people exactly the perfect example of why they should do this.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is no throwing video game contradicts.
Well, you know, just don't be the fanboy or fangirl yeah. mm-hmm. that we've all kind of come to know mm-hmm. and love on the internet, because mm-hmm. that it will be defeating the purpose of this. So, you know, and it's just interesting to read and see how it works, because I would never know. So mm-hmm. I recommend going and checking it out. And it's on the same page, I think. You'll find it around there in the petition mm-hmm. area.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's theeca.com is the website for them. So definitely check that out. And I also learned recently that I think starting on Friday, if you are interested in hearing a bunch of legal mumbo jumbo, you can actually listen to the arguments as they're being given and the court's response to them.
Oh,
and that's on the Supreme Court website.
So now they hear it next Tuesday, but it could be months before they decide it. Response. Okay.
So, because, you know, they have to write the
right.
super long
yeah.
responses, like 50 pages
each. Or at least dictate
each.
Them to one of their yeah. many, one of their many, I can't even remember, interns.
Whatever. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's happening next week. It's a little scary, but hopefully everything will turn out in game's favor. I don't even want to think about what might happen if it doesn't.
I just don't understand how that man can point fingers.
I know.
You know?
I know.
Like,
yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
I know. You line up his whole movie catalog and everything of things along the way. And
I mean, how...
Video games hurt children, though, Jess. I'm not sure if you've heard that.
I don't... Well, you know...
Yeah, no.
Oh my God, you almost made my brain explode. Seriously, I just don't understand how he can even. I mean, what an absolute ass.
Yep, I agree.
I mean, granted, it's probably not only him. It's probably, you know, it's probably.
No, I know, but it's like a low-hanging fruit sort of thing, because he's like, well, everyone else who's in the there are very few people.
It's low-hanging fruit, and I'm sure it's not just him, though. I'm sure that's a group of people over there where he works. But
Lilin Yee.
Either way, he's still the figurehead to this particular
issue. His name
issue.
Is on the case.
Yeah, and when your name's on the case, then you're the target. I'm sorry. Yeah. And wow, what a target.
Yeah.
You got to be kidding me.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm with you there. So,
oh God, these people just drive me friggin' crazy. Just absolutely nuts.
Yeah, they do that to me too. I'm just less vocal about it. But I'll be more vocal about it if something bad actually happens. So just keep your ears and eyes open, peeled for that. I would imagine that there may be other rallies going on besides outside the building. So yeah, definitely go to the site, read their tips, and you know, you might want to organize something on your own. You get enough people there, you can get the local news to cover you, which is always a good way to get your voice out there. So,
and get on TV.
Yeah, just don't act like an idiot, as so many people
just
do.
Just don't say what I say on these podcasts.
Yeah. So, let's get started then, like we always do, with what we're playing. Megan, you want to start us this week?
Sure. Well, since it's almost Halloween, I only found it appropriate to play Castlevania Lords of Shadow over the weekend for PlayStation 3. And I have to say that if you're a Castlevania fan and you followed the series over the years, you're going to be very shocked, because this is barely a Castlevania game. Like, if it didn't have the name Castlevania in it and it didn't have the name Belmont in it, you could call this God of Devil May Cry War. Dracula edition and totally get away with
it. You forgot the Dante's Inferno in that.
Oh, title. Dante's Inferno, yes. So it's just like you've played this game before under several different titles, but with more interesting and intriguing heroes and stories and whatnot. Like, Gabriel Belmont is the most boring hero I've ever come across in a game in, like, the longest time. I kept calling him Simon, like, Simon's Quest during the games. I'd be like, damn it, Simon, get over there. I'd be like, oh, that's right, your name is not Simon. Like, I couldn't remember anything about this character. It was so uninteresting. And Patrick Stewart is one of the voices, and he totally walked through his lines the whole time.
Really?
He was either melodramatic, like to the point where you're just rolling your eyes, or clearly was doing or thinking something else as he was speaking the lines. And then Gabriel went here. Wait, what? So it was interesting. Like, I can't complain about it per se. I can't say it's...
Yes,
it
you
has,
can.
Well, I can, yeah. But technically there are no gameplay issues. It plays uh-huh. just like God of War and just like Dante's Inferno and just like Devil May Cry and just like Prince of Persia and a little bit like Uncharted. And you're just kind of like, okay, I can't technically complain about the gameplay, but because it's so unoriginal, it's like I can't really recommend the game.
Yeah.
So I put that aside and played Super Scribblenauts instead. And I don't know why I'm proud of this. This is not the point of the game. The point is to show off, you know, you can come up with anything and mm-hmm. The game will have it. Well, I decided to see if I could trip the game up and get really mm-hmm. technical. So there was this one puzzle where you had to help a botanist plant her garden. So I started trying to think of flowers and plants that the game wouldn't have. And at first, I couldn't trick the game. I was like, foxglove, bam. Mm-hmm. Okay, juniper, bam. I was like, dang, that's really good. I didn't just do rose or lily mm-hmm. or sunflower. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, sweet William. Game was like nothing. And then I tried the Latin.
It may have rejected that one because it had William in it.
Exactly.
And they consider that a proper name.
They probably did, but I was so proud of myself. I don't know why, but I was so proud of myself that I tripped the game up. So, but it's a fun game. It's cute, and you can get creative. It's short, though, but it's great for kids or adults who want to brush up on their grammar skills and whatnot. So
I have not played the retail game of Super Scribblenauts yet. I played a preview build, and so, but I love that game in theory, and there are some moments when it's great, but it's I find it frustrating when you trip it up unintentionally, where I'm like, this does not seem like it should be that difficult of a thing. And you know, I don't know, I was doing that a lot in the preview build, and it felt a little less, you know, supposedly this is the fixed one.
Yeah, it felt a little less. I've been playing fixed. It too. It is more fixed. I mean, it definitely is.
Yeah,
it's like 50% yeah. fixed. But there was one puzzle I was doing this morning on the train that was mm-hmm. like, you know, send Maxwell through his firefighter training. And right. you go through all these different things, and the last thing that you have to do is put out a fire in a house. So I put in a hydrant and a hose, mm-hmm. and nothing. Like, the hose wouldn't work. And I'm like, what the hell? And so I clicked on the hint, and it's like, put the fire out by changing the weather.
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it's
what fireman is able to make it rain? Seriously, you know?
Yeah, or there were, I ran across, and yes, it was a preview build, so this could have changed, but because the game has adjectives too, I feel like they push adjectives in some puzzles when you wouldn't need it. Like, there was one where I was trying to go through and fix stuff, and like, you had to get the, it was like building, vehicle, occupation, so, you know, it was like hospital, ambulance. And I put in doctor, and it didn't recognize doctor. I had to put medical doctor.
Student.
And I was just like, really? Who calls it a medical doctor? Nobody.
Yeah, those puzzles are definitely, MD? I mean, there are whole levels that they tell you right at the beginning. Right. You have to use adjectives in this level.
Which is dumb when it's like, it's only making you use adjectives because they
want you to. The one that Nicole, you helped me with, where it was, it needed to be an adjective for a guy who hadn't been around for a long time, and it put young man, and mm-hmm. it wouldn't recognize it, but young boy it would. And it was like, are you seriously arguing semantics with me, game?
Right.
Chuck you across the room.
Yeah, and it's tough to come up with every permutation. You know, I'm sure when you're making a game, like, coming up with every permutation, but it just seemed like there were some very obvious things that it's just like, that it's just maddening.
It still has kind of its cool little moments where you can make things interact with each other in ways that just match. Like, for example, there was one where you had to fill in the cast and props for a horror movie. Mm-hmm. And so there's a little log cabin there. If you make a ghost, he flies in the house, and then the house becomes mm-hmm. haunted. Or if you make a vampire mm-hmm. and you put garlic down there, they'll run mm-hmm. away. And, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, those little things are cool.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah. So I recommend it, but just go in there knowing that there's some puzzles where you're going to be like, the hint is useless and mm-hmm. I don't know what the game
yeah,
wants.
Yeah, and vice versa. There are some times where the hint is just like completely gives away the solution.
Yeah,
and
that's true too.
Yeah.
Build a house.
It's yeah.
A, you mm-hmm. just put build a house already, stupid. Like, yeah. It's just, jeez.
Yeah. Anyhow, so that's it.
That's all. That was enough.
Yeah. How about you, Jess?
I finally finished. I shouldn't say finally because it just got released today. But I finished the Fable 3 main quest over the weekend. Mm-hmm. I finished it as
finally. I got it this morning and I just <single. laughs>
I finished as a good person. Mm-hmm. I went back and I started doing all the side quests. Some of the side quests that I missed and. I still cannot figure out this. There's this one. I don't know if this is considered a spoiler. I mean, it's just a section, and I don't know how to solve it. So there's this sunset house. I'm not going to give you any hints in regards to what it is. It's on the map, though. If you go to it, you'll figure it. You'll see what I'm talking about. But there's some sort of puzzle there that I can't, for the life of me, find where or what it is. I think it's connected to a storyline side quest, a different one that hints towards that one then. So I'm trying to figure that out. Anyway, I'm going through all that, and then I am thinking about making a new character, starting over, but going through it as like 100% pure evil, because I pretty much ended it almost pure.
Nice. How are you enjoying it all together though?
I love this game. I love it. I liked two more. I never played one because one, you were always just a boy. I didn't care.
Nice.
Two, you got to choose your characters, and so I played through it as a female, and I played it constantly. I played all the DLC. I think I did all the side quests. I owned almost the entire town of Bowerstone, I think it was called at the time. It's been a while since I played. And I loved it. And I thought that and I like three. I like it almost as much. The only reason I give two a little bit higher props is because I thought the storyline in two was more interesting, being like an abandoned orphan. Yeah. And you had this whole issue with your parents, and you had these flashbacks, which were kind of brutal in regards to, like, considering the style of the game as to what happened to your family. And this one, you're more of a, you start off as a princess or a prince and blah, 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 blah. You know, it's just like your typical fantasy story versus... It just was more interesting for me.
Are you allowed to socialize or like date people not online? I always hear that while the game's great, you can marry your friends online, but I heard nothing about offline. Like,
I believe you can. Actually, there's one. You definitely have co-op, and co-op's much improved. It's not going to be split screen anymore. I mean, if you're in the same room, you're going to be stuck with it. But if you're doing online, you get your own image. You don't have to get that split screen like you did in two, which is a great improvement. And then also, I believe you can definitely have relationships with other co-op online people. You can either enter it into a business relationship and keep it strictly business, and you guys actually like can
strictly
own shops and
business.
Stuff. But then you can you can either start and or upgrade from a business relationship into a like marriage relationship.
Right.
I don't know how the kids, I would assume the kids situation would work out the same way as in game, but whatever. And then if you divorce, it's got the same stuff. If you divorce somebody, they get half the income that you had. Your kids go to the orphanage. I think your kids go to the orphanage, whether, I don't think if you divorce, but if you end up a widow, your children will be sent to the orphanage, but then you can go pick them up and bring them back home.
That's awful.
Yeah. So I haven't done all of that yet. I know a lot of that because I actually read the instruction booklet, which was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Instruction booklet.
Get online before today.
And I couldn't get online. Yeah. And there was, And so I'm actually going to, I'm not 100% sure. I've tried it, but I haven't tried it. I've tried other things and it wasn't working. So I'm assuming this is it. But one of the demon doors, I think you need to do some sort of interaction with an online co-op situation, so I'm gonna do that as soon as I get back upstairs, actually. So I tried that, finished it technically, and then started picking up Fallout New Vegas again, and quickly fell right back off that wagon because I'm just pissed at how it doesn't work. I'm pissed at the fact that my side quests have side quests. I'm pissed at the fact that I can't, they give me a location to go to. I'm level whatever, like 6, which is not obviously not high. I'm following the storyline. They send me to this location that I've never been to before, so I can't fast travel. So I'm walking on my way over there, and I'm trying all these alternative routes because every which way I go, there's like a swarm of friggin' rad scorpions or random, you know, zombie, whatever. And I'm just like, screw this shit. Screw it. I just... I'm so, you know,
life's too short
my
to
God.
Play games that are driving you. If your fun is driving, making you want to beat your head against the wall, yeah. Then.
Yeah. And, you know, but I constantly go through this where I just automatically not give up on a game, but just kind of get pissed off and toss it to the side. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to do it with this one. I had done it with Fallout 3. And then I went back a year later and started playing Fallout 3. Absolutely love it. You know, I think part of my frustration with this one is, I mean, I'm running into so many glitches that automatically had already ticked me off. The atmosphere is cool, but it's the same game with just a different skin over the top, which is fine if you're into that kind of thing. I just don't happen to be a big Western fan, you know, that there's not a big appeal for me there. Red Dead Redemption, cool, but I wasn't like, woo, like I'm just not into that particular genre. So that was a stretch for me too. And then on top of it, to just feel like there's certain things about this game that are just, for me, I personally perceive them as unbalanced in regards to, you know, you're level 6, you get sent to this area, they know, you know, like, at least give me some options on how to get there.
But
if they
patch it, will you pick it up again and try playing it again?
They have released a patch over the weekend.
Oh, they
updated
did.
For
they
me.
Updated it again. Or they, I saw the patch, I downloaded the patch. And I did play it again. And that's where I just, you know, I'm still stuck on that whole, I still got to burr up my butt in regards to you buy a product, you buy it off the shelf, it should be complete. And without the excuse of having the option for patches. Mm-hmm. I mean, I understand that mistakes happen. And if you need to have a patch because one thing kind of scooched its way through and it's such an such a large game, I get it. But when the game freezes at the start screen for you and actually forces you to reboot your entire 360 and then does it an hour later and then does it an hour later, you know, and everybody has these same complaints.
I haven't had that experience. It crashed on me twice over probably about 22
but that's still,
hours of gameplay,
that's still,
which is Mass Effect 2 crashed on me 3 times.
I never had a Mass Effect crash.
Yeah. You know, so I'm actually really enjoying New Vegas. I don't think it's as good as Fallout 3, but I don't get the Western vibe at all. Like, to me, it feels just like Fallout. It's not cowboys and so...
Maybe the desert-y
theme
is what you were...
Story's not as interesting, but, you know, it's still Fallout. It's still the same gameplay.
It seems like it should just be another DLC. It's like a long DLC to me.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't really changed anything. It's unfortunate that they couldn't fix the glitches, but... The glitches that I've run to, at least, are just like weird animation stuff. It's not anything that actually affects the gameplay. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, the complaints about the low level, Fallout has always been a game that is all about the side quests. So, like the first Mass Effect, you gotta go do side stuff to move through the story.
I just don't give a crap.
Yeah. Although, I'm the same way about Fable, though.
As much as I'm pooping on... New Vegas, let me say, to be completely, you know, not completely 100% fair, but somewhat fair, Fallout or Fable 3 also had a major screw up with me that could have potentially lost me my entire game, which up to that point was like 20 hours worth of gameplay. It was in this one town. I went and bought armor, and the minute I put the armor on, all of a sudden I couldn't access any of my weapons. None of my weapons would pull up and none of the action buttons would work. And it was during this quest. And so what ended up happening was, so then I backed out of the quest and tried to restart it. It still wouldn't work. I tried traveling to a different area and picking up a different quest. But because technically the machine or the program still saw me as on this first quest, it wouldn't let me start a new quest. It just kept saying, you know, you're screwed. And so then I'm like, oh my God. So then I tried to restart the whole 360, still didn't get it out of whatever loop it was stuck in. Then I tried changing outfits, that didn't work. And then I tried to reload of an old save, but because it auto saved at the beginning of that quest, and because it only overwrites your automatic auto save, then even your personal save, if you were to personally save it and then start a quest and it auto saves, that
It shouldn't go over your autosave. I mean, there was no designated save.
There was no.
You stop and say, I'm going to save now.
Nope.
Really? It goes over those saves?
I'm almost 100% because I looked for it and I couldn't find it anywhere. Mm-hmm. And I kept getting stuck. And how did I get out of it? Something ended up, I went ahead and did all the stuff. I tried the mission again. Still wasn't working, so I actually ran out the door, and then it said, do you want to back out of this mission again? Mm-hmm. And I said yes again, and for whatever reason, it worked that time. I went and accepted a different mission, and then everything seemed to get back on track. But it literally took me an hour of all these little minor mm-hmm. things mm-hmm. where I felt like I was getting to the point where I was really concerned that I was just going to have to start over.
Yeah. Wow.
And that was a huge scary moment.
Yeah, it's like we're like opposites. I have absolutely no desire to play Fable 3. I played Fable 2 and I thought it was so boring.
It is so boring. I can see where a lot of people would find it very tedious. Yeah, it's a lot of like just back and forth.
Yeah, and like one of the things that I like about Fallout is kind of the sense of humor that it has. Like you'll encounter people in the world that are just freaking hilarious. Like I just mm-hmm. laugh out loud at what they say. Like
I don't know, there's this one, well I don't know because I can't tell you because then it's a spoiler. Mm-hmm. Damn.
Yeah.
Nope. There's this one thing in Fable that I actually thought was really personally hilarious.
Yeah. So that's me. I've been playing a lot of New Vegas, obviously. Like I said, I'm enjoying it. I do like Fallout 3 better. I like the story better in Fallout 3.
I think I really now that I started Fallout 3 to play catch up to New Vegas, I really like Fallout 3 a lot.
Yeah. And, you know, it's the same gameplay, and, like, you can fault games for having the same gameplay, but the gameplay was good in the first one, so I think if it's something's good, you don't need to really change it. That's my opinion. It would have been nice if they had fixed some of the animation-y type glitches and whatnot, but, like I said, at the end of the day, I haven't encountered anything other than the crashes that really hindered my gameplay, so.
You're lucky.
Cool.
Maybe the game just likes me better.
Yes. Wouldn't surprise me.
How about you, Dana?
Not a lot. I've been doing some more WoW because it's Harvest Festival time. I think that's what they call it, and it's Halloween time. So they have jack-o'-lanterns everywhere and all the Halloween-themed quests. So I've been doing a little bit of that. But any game time that I had this weekend was spent trying to make costume for my daughter. Not trying to. Making a costume for my daughter, who is almost 2. And then when I got done, it was all too big. Plus, she hated all of it.
What were you trying to make?
She really likes pretend cooking a lot. So I was like, oh, I'll just make her be a chef. Because I didn't want to do anything that had a lot of big attachments because she's 2. So I'm like, okay, it's a chef. Like, it's a coat and it's pants. Like, she wears coats and pants every day. So I feel like I can get her to wear this without. And then the little hat.
Yeah.
And I made all of it. And it was all slightly too large. And then she was like, no, off, and like just freaking off. So, because it was all too big, I decided that we will just stash that away and hopefully it will work for next year. She'll change her mind. And then I just threw together a super quick gorilla like pumpkin sort of thing, which is just a dress that she can wear over tights and stuff. But she was not wanting to try that on last night either. I don't know. This morning she didn't want to wear pants. She was like, don't want pants.
Probably just
don't want pants. Was over and over. I'm like, what are you, a little Lady Gaga fan? So it was a fight to get any clothing. Don't want pants.
Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Fun.
Yeah. You know, kids do that, though.
2-year-olds.
Yeah.
Love I went through a whole phase where I wore nothing but skirts for at least a year.
Oh, she didn't want to wear skirts either.
Oh, she just didn't want to wear clothes.
All she wants to wear, well, this weekend, Brian was like, hey, look, he got her dress on Saturday morning and he had on a long sleeve black t-shirt. So she has a couple. So he was like, oh, you can have one on too. And now that's all she wants to wear. And no pants. Like all she wants is that long sleeve black t-shirt. So then we wore the second one on Sunday and now they're both grimy, dirty, and I haven't done wash yet.
I gotcha.
And that's the only thing she wants to wear. Yesterday morning, black shirt. Wow. Sorry, kid.
Because it's a gift.
Yeah. Well, and it's so then she can be like Daddy.
Yeah, exactly.
So I was like, can you go in there and show her like a white long sleeve t-shirt or something? Yeah.
And pants. Would you get her pants, to put on pants?
Dada has on pants. Nope.
Give our daughter options.
Yeah. So anyway, I spent all weekend sewing a Halloween costume that my daughter will not be wearing. Woohoo!
Well, you're a good mom. At least you try to make it.
All right, so that's what we're playing. We're going to move into our topic this week, which should not be a terribly controversial one, but as of today, October 26th, the PS2 is 10 years old.
That's crazy. Woo!
That's so weird.
Yeah.
I remember it coming out.
I remember the launch day as well. I got it on launch. I was just kind of getting back into games at that point, but my husband was so excited when that thing was coming out.
I remember my friend's boyfriend got it on launch day. That was like just a little over a year before I started doing this as a job, so I wasn't gaming at that point.
Did I ever tell you the PlayStation 2 Valentine's Day story?
Mm-mm. Yeah, the lingerie.
Mm. Yeah,
the lingerie.
Oh,
one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be fitting for this. Yeah. I already said it. Go listen to some of the other ones. I don't remember which one it was, but one of the old podcasts have a good PlayStation 2 story.
Short story, Jess's husband bought her lingerie when she wanted a PS2.
After he promised me a PS2 for Valentine's Day. Wasn't me just being a brat.
Yeah. So, we got it on launch. I remember Isaac, like, calling the FedEx guy to, like, find out, like, where it was. And
That's awesome.
After we got it, we went down to the now-defunct PlayStation store in the Metreon.
Oh, right. Yep.
To check out the small amount of software that was available.
Yeah, there was not a whole lot.
Ridge Racer! Woo!
Yeah. We didn't actually get Ridge Racer. We got Fantavision. We got the Konami sports thing. And then Isaac got this... For the life of me, I forgot to look it up. I cannot remember the name of it, but it was a THQ kind of like action RPG-ish-esque game that was totally broken.
which is not a shocker, because half of any launch games for any system are completely broken.
Yeah.
Because they haven't had much time to work with the hardware and they don't know.
About that game, though, that I remember was that after you beat it, you unlocked this movie that had all of the characters from the game reenacting that... D&D script, I think it's from Saturday Night Live or from somewhere, where, like, you know, there's a guy that's like, where are the Cheetos? And it's like, you know, or, you know, somebody,
I have no idea what you're talking about,
somebody has
funny.
Like, you know, just sorry. Like, I want to cast magic missile, and they're like, you can't cast magic missiles, I want to cast it anyway. But it was done with the characters from the game,
right.
So there was like this giant, like, monster type thing that was looking for the Cheetos, which was just hilarious. So
that's funny.
I give props to that game. It's too bad I can't remember the name.
Somebody will know. One of our listeners will know.
Yeah, I'm sure somebody will know. And somebody will also know where that skit came from as well, I'm sure. So just some quick stats, which are actually kind of astounding. So one in every three U.S. households has a PlayStation 2. 146 million of them around the world have been sold, and it introduced popular franchises such as God of War, Gran Turismo, Ratchet and Clank, and Metal Gear Solid. And believe it or not, kids, some companies are still making games for it.
Yeah, every once in a while, I've been going through and doing our gift guide on what they play in. Yeah. Every once in a while, you'll find, like, a kid-targeted game that's on the PS2,
too. Speaking of which, at the end of this month, on October 31st, 2010, they're actually releasing a limited edition Toy Story 3 PS2 bundle. Mm. That's the PS2 and the game for $99, which is a pretty sweet deal, actually.
Yeah.
So, what was your favorite game on the PS2?
My favorite game was sort of a tie between Final Fantasy X, which is why I bought the PlayStation 2 in the first place, because they showed screenshots of that before Final Fantasy IX even came out.
Yeah.
And so everyone's just like, Final Fantasy IX, let's get to 10. So I was one of those people. So I bought the PlayStation 2, not on launch day, but near it, just so I could, like, sit there and wait for that game to come out.
Yeah, I was going to say, that game didn't come out.
It didn't come out on launch day. But I was just like, I'm just going to have it all ready to go. I'm so very excited. But the other game is actually God of War 2. I played that before I played God of War 1. And the only reason I actually even... got it was because I watched coworkers playing at the beginning. It was Kratos and the Colossus of Rhodes, and it was so impressive. And I'd never seen a game with that kind of scale before. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I have to play this game. And so I totally flipped out over it and was like, okay, God of War is my, like, new favorite series. And so those two are sort of at the top of the list. Although they're totally on opposite sides of the spectrum, but
right.
There it is.
Yeah. How about you, Jess?
I have a couple. I really liked, Final Fantasy VIII, I think, was out on the PlayStation 2, right?
No,
that was PS1.
Was 10? It really?
Yeah.
Wow. All right, we'll scratch that one from the list.
Ten was the first to be on the PS2.
I liked 10, but I wasn't gaga for 10. 8's always been my favorite. I thought I was on the 2.
Nope.
Then I would say... Oh, it's been so long. I really liked Shadow of the Colossus. Eco, Rez was a big one. That was just mindless fun.
Yeah.
And kind of and just so interesting looking for some reason. I really enjoyed that one. And then I'd say those three were probably the big ones for me. Shadow of the Colossus especially.
Yeah.
Even though I think it could have been displayed much better, which is going to happen now with the HD releases.
The HD
probably, and it was so close to the PlayStation 3 launch. It was so close that I kind of wish I would have preferred to see it there just because it would have looked so pretty.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I still had a great experience with that game. Mm-hmm. Like, I would play it. Well, I'd play it now. Mm-hmm. And I am going to play the HD version when it comes out. And so mm-hmm. I'd say that would probably be my number one choice.
Yeah. How about you, Dana?
I had a lot. Burnout
Dana
3.
Actually worked at the official PlayStation
I did work at the official
magazine.
PlayStation cool. magazine, so the PS2 is near and dear to my heart. Burnout 3 Takedown was one of my all-time favorites. I've written about it on IGN, but it just overtook our office when that game mm-hmm. came in. Like, we actually got just a demo disc at first, and it had a couple of... It had a few races and then some crash modes, and none of us was really paying much attention because that was the first Burnout that had crash mode in it or Road Rage. And so we got the demo disc in, and you get, when you work at a game publication of any type, you get demo discs in all the time and everything. So we didn't really pay any attention to it, but one of my coworkers was playing it, and he was doing a crash mode, which is where you drive a car into the middle of a busy intersection and try and cause as much dollar damage as possible. And we were like, what the heck is this? And he was like, it's crash mode. And we all kind of started like hanging around near his TV. And then and then before you knew it, like, we were all like huddled there around his like TV, passing around the controller.
Nice.
And we worked late. Like, every night that the magazine cycle, the way it usually works is that the last week of the cycle, you've put off doing everything. And so
right.
then you're there till like midnight. But we kept playing that game and not getting any of our work done. And it was and then we discovered Road Rage, which was even more awesome because that was the mode where you just try and shove people off the road. That's the whole point, is to make everyone else crash. There's no finish line. You just try and cause as many car crashes as possible. So Burnout 3 I loved. God of War, I loved that game as well. I got to review that one, and that was a big highlight of being there. I love the Sly Cooper trilogy a lot. It's made by the same people who make Infamous, actually. And if you've played both, you can see a lot of it, even though the look and feel are completely different. Like, Sly Cooper is this, I mean, it's very humorous and cute, and it's like these little cartoon animals doing kind of an Ocean's 11 sort of thing. They
right.
like heists. And they're actually releasing the Sly Cooper trilogy in HD for the PS3. So which is going to be $40, and I highly recommend it because it's three games for $40 and they're awesome games. But if you've played both, you can see definite parallels. You're like, oh, okay, it's a lot of similar modes and a lot of similar things. The first Katamari game, Katamari Damacy, like, even though now that there have been like 7 Katamari games and they're all basically the same thing, like, just playing that game for the first time and having that come out, it was so much fun, and it was just so kind of like, what the heck? Japan,
right.
you were a crazy awesome guy.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa, what is all this? Nuttiness?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to remember that, like, sense of, like, kind of freshness and, like, crazy.
Yeah, Katamari, that's a good story of a game, too.
Right.
Because it originally was not going to be released over here in North America.
Right.
But people got import copies and, like, went nuts over it. And Namco was like, all right, let's release it then.
Yeah. Soul Calibur 2, too. I'm not
a
fighting game fan, but
that's
Soul Calibur 2
one.
Was great.
I've liked all, well, not all, but I liked the early Soul Calibers.
Yeah.
1 and 2 were both really good. 3 kind of was,
I know.
And
it
went downhill
that was
from
gone.
There.
Yeah, it was, which is too bad because 3 should have been awesome because you could make your own fighters and everything. But
just
there was something about 2 like that was way much more fun. When we were getting ready to do a cover for 3, we started playing 2 again as research. And then, like, for the next 2 months, we were
I think it was
we were
still
doing
fresh.
Daily SmackDowns. Yeah.
Even though it was 2, it was still kind of like... fresh for some reason. It was still kind of unique. Not unique, but I mean, because a fighter is a fighter. But I don't know, something about it.
The nice thing about Soul Calibur is that, I mean, if you had skills, you could go, you know, you could definitely hone your moves and everything. But if you were just a button masher, like, you still had a chance of competing.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, you look at, I mean, what is it, Marvel versus Capcom 2? Is that the game that
Mark Ryan
and Colin on our, when we did the 24-hour game-a-thon, Mark Ryan and Colin, who both work in our office, Mark Ryan really loves fighters, and he's very good at them, and he challenged Colin to 100 matches and bet Colin that he wouldn't beat him even once, and he did not.
Last year, we saw Mark Ryan playing that thing almost every day. Yeah. The minute that game came out, he literally would stay after work and sit there for hours and play.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when he wasn't doing that, he was at the little arcade machine playing Street Fighter 2.
Yeah. So, I mean, Soul Calibur 2 was nice because it's like the everyman's fighting game. And it's good. Like, it's fun. And it's,
I don't know. Pretty.
It is really pretty.
Yes, it has some really cool characters.
Yeah, Voldo. Voldo. I always played as Nightmare.
It has some extremely extreme female characters, too. Because I think when I was at Game Now, we did a cover.
Yes, you did. I remember those.
Soul Calibur 2. And we put Taki on the cover.
And Game Now was targeted towards kids.
Oh, man.
Game Now was targeted towards kids, so they had Taki and her nipples showing.
Yeah.
Taki showed
for the record, that was not my decision.
No, I know. I know your boss. I know, because he always played, because your boss became my boss then on LPM.
Right.
And when we played Soul Calibur 2, he always played as Taki.
I don't even think Taki was wearing I think that's just straight up body paint.
It is.
I mean, she did not hide anything. You can tell that Taki is bare down below, man.
Yeah, Taki is Taki. Ivy, too, was always rocking a thong.
Although she kind of was just, I mean, what, you know, the thong.
She had that badass whip thing that you just dive through the ground and then.
Yeah, Voldo always had a thong.
Voldo was creepy.
And then Necrid. He had a little dick sock.
Yeah. Necrid totally sucked as a character, but I worked with someone who loved Necrid and swore, even though he always got his ass kicked every time he would play as him. Ollie, if you're listening, I have a lot of good memories of that time, and it was nice. It was also nice because, you know, at that point I was working on a single platform. Just to immerse yourself in a platform. I mean, now that I work on stuff where you're writing about everything, I feel like, you know, I kind of know what's going on in every sort of thing, but you miss the level of immersion that you get.
Oh, I totally like would that. Agree with that. Yeah.
It was. Yeah, the PS2 is, it may go down just as my, and the other thing, it's like the most, I feel like it's the system with the most broad appeal as far as the whole catalog of games and everything that was available to it. I mean, because you think about it, the Xbox has been like, even if it's not completely accurate anymore, but that's like the hardcore system for the shooters, and Nintendo's always been, you know, it's been fanboys and kids, and now it's kind of transitioning into more purely family. But I mean, the PlayStation, you can find something for anyone on
that is true. And it launched all sorts of cool series, so it was like God of War and Devil May Cry and like Metal Gear. That Metal Gear was on the original PlayStation
though.
I'm just reading from Sony's press release.
Oh, well, they're stupid then.
There's my disclaimer. Sony PR person must not know.
Yeah, whoever wrote that was like, I could have sworn the first game was on the PSX.
Take that, Kazurai.
Yeah. So my favorite games on the PS2, the first God of War, which I absolutely loved. We had seen nothing like it at the time.
Yeah.
Playing that first Hydra boss battle was it's an experience I will never forget. It was just it was like one of the only times I've sat back and said, oh my God, this is so fun. Which, you know, and it was just super cool. And Primal is another favorite.
I knew you were going to say that one next.
Completely underrated game, which I wish they would bring to the PS3 in a sequel form or whatever. And the reason why I like that one so much is because that's the first game that I played that had a female lead that was normal. You know, I mean, she was attractive and she was kind of a badass, but she had, you know, weaknesses and feelings, and like I don't want to spoil anything for anybody that might play it is a very old game though, but like the whole plot of it is that she can take these demon forms, and she's up against this, you know, evil power that turns out to be her boyfriend, and the scene at the end where she finds out that it's her boyfriend, and like her eyes like tear up. The graphics were gorgeous in it too at the time. I'm sure.
Yeah.
Probably don't look as good now. Yeah. But it was so detailed and so emotional. I mean, the gameplay it was your standard action gameplay, but for me, the story and the character, like, that was the first time I had played a game where I wasn't making fun of the dialogue or saying, right. Oh my God, this is a retarded story like I've done a million times.
Yeah.
So, then... Yes.
I forgot Silent Hill 2.
Oh.
I can't believe myself right now. Toss that in my pile real fast.
Yeah. And then the Ratchet and Clank series, the third one, Up Your Arsenal, is my favorite because...
I thought that was cute.
Yeah, it is cute. I mean, all of their titles
Yeah, their titles
are
clever.
Yeah. And that one was just... It was super funny. It had a bunch of these old school side-scrolling levels because as Ratchet in the game, you get a video game console where you're playing Captain Quark's video games that are based on him. And those are the two 2D side-scrolling things, really funny. And the other thing in that, there was a boss battle in that game that I died in multiple times because I was laughing so hard. And it was Courtney Gears, who is a robot based on, as you can imagine, Britney Spears, who battles you by dancing. And, like, she would spin around, like, the spinning attack. And every time she would, like, come around, she'd be like, oops, I did it again.
Oh, man.
It was awesome. So,
Vice City was good, too. Even though, like, the GTA games have a... they've lost their allure for me. It's just like, oh, okay, it's...
Yeah.
I mean, it's... They're so pretty and they're very well put together. I'm not saying they're bad games at all. I'm just saying... But like, that was the first one of them that I played because I hadn't played GTA 3, but Vice City was a lot of fun.
I actually played a lot of DDR Max 2. I think that's the one that I played because it had an awesome workout mode in it where you could set up a set list for 30 minutes straight with no breaks in it, and you could pick which songs went where and what difficulty, and it was like the perfect workout. And subsequent DDR games have not had that feature, and I was like, why would you take that out?
Right.
It was like brilliant.
Right.
So
you know what else was really cool, and it never lived up to its potential, but I remember when it came, I mean, now it seems like with the eye, I don't even remember what's the eye is what they call it now, and then Kinect coming. But the eye toy when that came out, and those like the little mini games that came packaged with it, which the games themselves were not, but like it was like it being in the future where you were like, holy crap, I'm looking at this thing and I'm moving my hand. And
yeah,
I mean, I never got one myself. We just played it in the office.
Yeah, it's, you know, I don't think we bought one either, but it's because
there wasn't ever anything that was worthwhile for supporting it.
They didn't support it very well with the games. There was a lot, obviously, as we're seeing now with Kinect, that they could have done with it.
They actually had a fitness game that was really good.
Kinetic.
Funny. that was actually a really cool workout game. I mean, you were just then stuck with the limitations of the iToy, because while it was a first gen sort of, you know, it was an early thing, and the light sensitivity kind of sucked. But it was like the design of it, and it was a cool game.
Yeah,
Prince of Persia, the first Prince of Persia, Sands of Time was actually a cool game. I was told to stay away from the other two, but to try.
No,
at least
I've heard two. I have not played two and three, but two is meh because they take him through his little goth phase. But then I heard three kind of redeems it, and that the whole arc of the story is a
because I thought the ending of the first game was pretty cool too.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It could have been a standalone game. But
the guy that I worked with loved, like, he swore by it. Like, it might have been his favorite, like, you know, just kind of set of games on the PS2.
Yeah.
So. All right. Let's do the flip side now. What are some really, really bad games?
The guy game.
I never played
which
that.
I reviewed,
I can't say I played
which
that.
I reviewed because I was like, oh, I'm totally reviewing this. It was awful. It was this really stupid. It was like they took Girls Gone Wild and like a shitty quiz show game and they put them together. So you were basically going through and having to, they were interviewing like drunk girls or asking drunk girls questions on the beach. It was all like video and everything. And then you were having to guess what they were going to answer. And if you guessed what they answered right, like eventually you could get to a point where they were topless. And I was like, you could just Google boobs.
The challenge is gone then.
Yeah. It was so bad. And I was like, this is horrible, horrible, horrible. And I was giving it a bad score. And my boss at the time was like, because I was the only woman on staff. And so it was like, okay, well, we'll let you review it. And He was like, I need to look at it too, because you're obviously not the target demo. And then he was playing it, and he's like, yeah, you're right. This is really dumb. Okay, you're bad score. I mean, it was just bad. Like, it didn't do, I understand TNA and all, but it didn't do that well.
Yeah.
It's awful.
Yeah. I was not in the industry at the time, so I only had access to what I would buy. And luckily, I can't say that I did too bad in picking decent games.
I'm because the same way. I mean, I was in the industry, but I didn't spend a lot of time having... I wasn't reviewing for most of the time the PS2 was out. I was doing PR, so...
Yeah, so my games came kind of, willy-nilly if I happened to get a lot of recommendations. And usually the recommendations that I received were really, really
high. I heard you talking to Scott Bromley about one, though.
Battletoads? Battletoads? That's not for PS...
10-2. No.
Oh, yeah, 10-2 was terrible. Actually, Final that's Fantasy a great... 10-2. Thank you for reminding me.
how could you forget that terrible game?
I know, I just mentioned it earlier, too. Yeah, that one... I actually played a significant... I think I got more than halfway through on it. Yeah. Because I had so much faith in 10... and enjoying 10 that I'm like, okay, well, 10-2's gotta be good. And it kind of, it wasn't everything. I don't want to put it. I just thought that the concept of the girls changing their clothes in order to gain powers and the whole yay girl power like mentality of the game, it just wasn't my cup of tea. I just thought it was,
it probably didn't help that it was a bunch of guys' idea about girl power.
Yeah, exactly.
that's only just like part two. I mean, my main complaint is literally just the costume changes.
Right.
I'm like, really? I get costumes? Why can't I get cool weapons or something? And I mean, like, technically the spells are is pretty much still the same. You know, Phoenix Down will always be Phoenix Down. I don't know. It just kind of was like, yeah, you could tell it was somebody's wet dream, and that was it. And I was just like, I just am not interested in this.
Yeah, it was total fanboy.
I said a lot in that entire convo. But yeah, 10-2, for all intents and purposes, even though it kind of should have been okay, just wasn't doing it for me. Mm-hmm. That was one of the ones that I really just did not like. And I quit. I had invested a lot of time in that one, too. Mm-hmm. I did get more than halfway through, and I just stopped. I just couldn't deal with it.
Oh, the very first American Idol game, which I had to review, was not actually a karaoke game. You were actually having to do time button presses like with the music. And there was a mode where you could sing along with your TV, but you didn't actually have a mic plugged in or anything. So it was just like having it there and then you reading the words and singing in front of your TV without any mic.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to toss out good game, not bad game, but... Uh-huh. Guitar Hero.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that came out. It's been so long.
Yeah.
Whoa.
You know, I tried, maybe some listeners will disagree, but I tried the original Red Faction on PS2 because it sounded like a really cool concept, like you're on Mars and you gotta escape this mining colony or whatever, and I did not like that game. Like, the camera was making me angry, and my biggest problem with first-person shooters is sometimes the level design is so just, it's like the same thing over and over, so it's easy to get turned around.
Yeah.
And I was just, that game drove me crazy. So I don't know if it's necessarily a bad game, but I remember not liking that game because it was like, I can't find my way around and I'm fighting the camera and it's driving me crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't think of any game that I played that was horrible.
Really. I'm sure there were out there.
I'm like trying to think. I had 3 years of like, reviewing games and then watching other people review games, and I'm trying to like circle some of them out.
Oh, actually, wait, I do have one. I didn't play it, but I got to watch poor Mr. Ethan Einhorn. Ethan, play the game, and that was Tomb Raider: Angel of Darkness.
Oh,
that was
the
last one before they took it away from Core.
Yeah. Oh man, that was bad.
That was really bad. And that was the one that they made a whole huge to-do about how this is gonna change. Blah blah blah.
That's right. Like, had it. I actually, thank God, I had Gamefly that, so I didn't own it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I popped it in and was like, oh yeah, Lord, no, what bad. Happened?
Yeah,
that was
because
really
I
bad.
Loved all the Tomb Raiders up to that point. I enjoyed all of them. I'm not loved maybe, but I enjoyed all of them.
Yeah.
Solid games. And then I got to that one. I was like, what the hell just happened to her?
Yeah.
What was that really bad? Who's like where they took Nina from Tekken and they gave her her own like kind of like adventure game. What was that one
again? I don't
again?
Remember Gosh, the name of it. Was Tekken. I remember hearing of yeah. it. Yeah.
Oh, I can't remember it. That one wasn't good. The last Mortal Kombat that came out on the PS2, I remember one of my coworkers reviewed it and his whole intro was like, you know, sometimes like you have a really old dog and you know you should really put it to sleep. It can't see and it can't walk.
I think I remember
and you just
that
can't
one.
Bring yourself to put it down. Wow. And Mortal Kombat is that dog and it should die.
Yeah. Yeah. Was that the one that had literally like the finish?
Yeah.
Hide.
Yeah, the hats. The yeah.
Nope.
Where you like throw the long cylinder. Yeah. It was like wow. like a disc. Yes.
Yeah. All right, so that's our reminiscing about the PS2. Just want to throw out a quick plug there on IGN this week. We are counting down the top 100 PS2 games as voted on mm-hmm. by a large number of our staff.
Including me, wee!
Yes, and me. Yeah. I handed yeah. in my votes. I just wasn't yeah, in on the final oh, yeah. committee.
But I don't want any. Don't send me nasty letters if you don't like the order.
Yeah. Send all nasty Blame mail Greg to Miller. Greg Miller. Yeah.
Yes, please do. So.
So that's up on the site this week. They're counting down. They're doing, what is it, 10 a day or 20 a
20
day?
20 a day.
Yeah. And also, I believe going up today or tomorrow is a collection of all of the editors' most favorite PS2 memories, mm-hmm. which should yep. be a pretty cool feature as well. So with that in mind, we're
happy
move
birthday,
over
PS2.
Questions. Yes happy Yay. Birthday, PS2.
Annuals.
All right. First question comes to us from Carlton. Carlton wants to know what our opinions are about depictions of violence against women in video games. Specifically, he is calling out the scene in Red Dead Redemption where Bonnie gets kidnapped and beaten. I haven't played Red Dead, so
I haven't played
seen it.
Enough of it. To
yeah,
get
I haven't
to that
played
scene.
Enough of it either. But
well, maybe can we just swap his example out mm-hmm. with yeah. the one from Heavy Rain?
Yeah,
where she essentially mm-hmm. is getting same
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think if it's applicable to the story, I have no problem with it. If it's just random, yeah. and which right. I've never seen, just with
random
maybe the
stuff.
Exception of possibly a GTA.
Yeah, I was gonna say GTA
like,
right.
off
sort
the
of.
Sidewalk kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah. You know,
but
I've never
but you don't have to do that. Like that doesn't yeah. that only happens if you yeah. yourself choose
right.
to make
yeah.
it.
So I would bye-bye. Say no. I don't yeah. really have a problem with it.
It doesn't really bother me either. I mean, unfortunately, it is a part of the world that we live in. Mm-hmm. And I think if it's used properly in conveying that world.
It was a little disturbing in God of War 3. It wasn't really violence per se, but Kratos basically uses this woman to prop up a door.
Oh yeah, oh, yeah.
And
that
then
one.
You get a trophy that says "I didn't, but I wish I had." And it's like you
actually,
didn't.
Yeah, that sort of stuff, like where they'll do like clever trophies based or achievements based on it. That to me is much more disturbing than.
I actually think that's a great example, Megan, of being mm-hmm. one that would disturb me. Mm-hmm. And it's probably the only, like, I'm glad you brought it up because mm-hmm. I wouldn't even have thought of it. But yeah, I remember when I got mm-hmm. to that point, I was like, are you serious?
Yeah.
Like,
see, I took
because
that.
What was worse is she was begging the whole time for her life.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And asking for help. And she hadn't really done anything
she
wrong.
Anything.
She
was just already kidnapped.
There and kidnapped.
Yeah,
and
but, you know, Kratos' character, basically, he slaughters innocents all the time, right. so I didn't...
That's true,
he
too,
does, but it was, maybe I wouldn't mind, I mean, it was disturbing,
it was
but there was a trophy that took it that one
you
step
see,
yeah.
that's not the way I interpreted the name of that trophy, because I interpreted it as, like, everybody knows every God of War game has a little sex minigame, mm-hmm. and the way I interpreted the name of that trophy was that we're showing you this naked girl, everybody's like, oh, mm. this is the sex minigame, this is what it has to be. Mm-hmm. And they trick you, and it's not. And
so
it
instead,
in
he would have rather raped her, but unfortunately, he used her to prop a door.
Yeah. See, I'm sorry. I think you're giving them credit that shouldn't have, because
well,
the sex minigame was obviously going to be with Aphrodite. Like, that was just.
I didn't.
And there's always willing participants. Yeah. This girl wasn't willing. She was
okay. Well, we don't know what their motivation was, but yeah. okay. That is an example that disturbs some of us.
Yeah.
All right. Next question.
Doesn't bother me.
Way to take charge, Dana.
So next question comes to us from Scott. Scott has a technical question for us, which I don't
Uh-oh.
Know if we'll be able to answer.
Nope.
So he plays Xbox 360 games on a standard 27-inch TV, like not an HD.
Dude, I'm already not listening.
I can follow along so far.
And he says that the text in those games always appears to be really small on that screen, and he wants to know.
You need an HD TV.
Buy a bigger TV. Yeah,
you need an HD TV. I actually had that problem with the original Mass Effect where I didn't have an HD TV.
Yeah, that's what he mentions, Mass Effect.
Yeah, at the time, and once you get an HD TV, then it can handle the text, and then it's like, oh, okay, that's what it's supposed to
look
like.
Yeah, when we took home
Dead Rising, that gave me a big problem with that.
My 360 at Christmas a couple of years back when we went to Brian's parents, and they don't have an HD TV, and he was playing Fallout 3 at the time, and it was so hard to like read it on their TV versus on our HD one. So HD TV, that is your solution.
Yeah, that's your answer. It doesn't matter how big the screen is on a standard, you need HD.
Yeah,
we answered a tech question.
Yes. Good job, girls.
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't know why it is that the text displays that way. It just does.
As long as our answer is right and it works, go for it.
All right, next question comes to us from Colby. Colby wants to know what we think about the Halo games, mostly Halo Reach. He says, are we going to get it? Well, this is an old question. And I love this last line, because I'm a guy, and it's mostly only guys who play Halo.
Yeah, I don't really care. In fact, I loan because we got a copy in, and it's kind of on permaloan to another one of the...
Well, no, he gave it back to me, but I haven't gotten around to playing it yet.
Okay, yeah, because I was like... Like, I could bring it home and delude myself that I'm going to maybe play it, but I probably won't. I played a little of the first few levels of Halo 3, and I was like...
I played the entire campaign of Halo 3 with my husband.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have played it by myself.
Right.
And he was, like, goading me, like, to finish it. Because, like, all the way through, I'm like, this is so stupid. Like, it's retarded. Like, I don't want to play this anymore. And he's like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
So we may do that with Reach as well, but
and
every once in a while we play online with our friends from Chicago. Mm-hmm. So that's the main reason why I wanted to have the game was for that option. But typically I'm not super into them either. So we got time for a couple more. Next one comes to us from Nicole. Hey, and it's not me, I swear. So,
dear Nicole, why are you so awesome? Love Nicole.
So she wants to know if we use cheat codes, guides, or walkthroughs, and do we consider that a bad thing?
I don't use cheat codes, but I will totally use a guide or a walkthrough. Yeah. My life is way too short if I'm sitting there and I can't figure it out.
Yeah. The only time I used cheat codes was in when I played Sims PC stuff.
Oh, yeah, when you get to get more money.
Yeah, more money, or you can, like, remove the boundaries to things adjust everything, crazy stuff. That's really the only time I ever played with cheat codes. But, yeah, I'll use a walkthrough or a guide for sure.
Yeah.
And I don't think that makes you a bad gamer. I think that makes you somebody that wants to reach the end.
Someone that, like, doesn't have enough time to just spend endlessly trying to figure out the same quest.
Yeah, I'm the same way. There's nothing wrong with using a walkthrough.
Mm-mm. Yeah, especially if the puzzles or whatever is really hard in a game. Like, I'm using it for Ocarina of Time because some of the stuff I'm just like, I'm not that smart, game. Just tell me what to do.
Some of those walkthroughs are, if they're really well written, they actually kind of bring a new level or dimension to the game because it tells you things you might not normally run across and that if you were following a certain path that you would never see.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it kind of just broadens that world for you too so that you want to continue to play more or go off onto a random side quest you wouldn't normally pick in order to see whatever it is you happen to read about in this guide or walkthrough.
Yeah.
So I think that it is beneficial in some ways.
Okay. Next question comes to us from Christine. This is a Dragon Age question. Christine wants to know if there is any way to save both you and Alistair without having Morrigan conceive the demon child.
No, I don't think so.
No, there's not.
I don't think so either.
There's absolutely
I don't know.
Sorry, Christine. I was kind of bummed by that being the case as well. All right.
You got to kill your boyfriend or girlfriend or be a slut.
So next question comes from Cole. Cole wants to know what genres in gaming we think need more innovation.
I would say horror genre right now is seriously lacking. The last good horror genre I gamed with played... Wow, I just turned those words around. Played. That was a game. Condemned. I really enjoyed it. And actually, it was so scary, I had to put it down. I've never picked it up since because it literally gave me chest pains. I am not kidding. No, a physical reaction. Oh. Like, oh my God. It's this particular scene where you're in the mall. I might have mentioned it before. And you're walking down this hallway, And you know that the mannequins are going to come to life, mm-hmm. but you don't know which ones. And so you're already freaked out. And then you're as you're continuing down this hall, you have one of those black and white flashbacks. And all of a sudden, they all pop up around you in a circle. So then you start shooting wildly because this is the first time it happens. And you're like, mm-hmm. oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. Mm-hmm. And then nothing, you know, you realize, oh, this is just a flashback image. So then you inch forward, and then you're inching forward because you're worried, okay, if I get close to them then, does that mean that they're going to come to life? But then they don't. So you're like, oh, God, you get past them. You're like, oh, God, yeah, yeah. And you keep running down that hallway because you're like, oh, I got past that part. And all of a sudden they do it again. And you're like, completely flipped out. And my chest was beating so hard it hurt. And I just had to put the controller down, and I never picked it up since. And I think that actually was phenomenal. Yeah. And I regret now. Not going back, and now I think it's probably too far along that I don't know if I'd appreciate it as much.
Right, you don't know what's going on anymore.
But I really miss having a solid horror genre game that's top grade. Because before it used to be Silent Hill, and then that kind of went down the crapshoot, and then it was Condemned, and while good, I don't, you know, it's just not. I really want to find another Silent Hill 2. I really want another absolutely crazy psychological screw up that doesn't use like the girl from The Ring and doesn't use like the same subway system mm-hmm. over and over again, or an orphanage or an abandoned hospital. Like, you know, I'm looking right. for something new.
Yeah.
I wish that more developers were, and I understand, you know, it's a gamble because no one does it, but I wish games made for non-gamers or for people who are new to gaming weren't. Like it wasn't mostly just like crappy collections of mini games. I wish there was more innovation and just the types of games mm-hmm. that were made. There was an analogy I heard once. I don't think I've said this on this podcast, but there was an analogy that I heard once where someone was like, okay, if you had to take all the games in the world and categorize them into the categories you'd find in a bookstore, like some genres would be exploding, like fantasy or military, history or stuff like that.
Science fiction.
And then there would be other entire categories that would be practically empty. And I just feel like that there's a lot.
Historical
that could be
romance.
Done. There you go.
Woo. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Well, BioWare. Made a historical
BioWare needs to do this. Get on that ball.
Actually, kind of interesting.
Yeah, I agree mm-hmm. with you. Like, I don't want to narrow it down to one genre because I think we could use innovation everywhere. And we right. do see some developers come out with really mm-hmm. creative, unique things. Scribblenauts, mm-hmm. despite all of its faults,
right.
really unique and creative, I thought.
I thought Flower was fantastic.
Yeah, Flower is amazing. I thought Heavy Rain also has its faults, but also unique.
Right.
So, yeah.
Although I didn't like Heavy Rain as much as I thought mm-hmm. I was going to, I cannot say that it wasn't unique and interesting. Yeah. I mean, I finished it, and and even though I didn't, I don't want to say not have fun, because I had fun with it, but when I wasn't, you know, like, woo, doesn't mean that it was so mm-hmm. creative and right. different, and
right.
Although I kind of want to play that one again. With the PlayStation Move. I feel like I might have a different opinion on it my biggest complaint was the control scheme mm-hmm. on that game. And I also thought, but this was me being a horror genre fan, it could have been a little bit scarier.
Well, I never thought it was supposed to be horror. I just thought it was supposed to be
it's not supposed to be horror or crime
thriller.
She's like, but why not just throw it in?
But as a fan, I could see it being,
it is the right tone.
That would have
like
been the tone, which would have been a unique experience for a new horror genre game. I could see that being a great base for something along those lines because it was different, it was unique, and it was still kind of dark enough.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, that if you really wanted to push the envelope and go something a little more horror-esque, mm-hmm. it would have been great to have it.
Yeah,
but
Indigo Prophecy, Quantic Dream's previous game.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah. And that would have probably made me enjoy it a little bit more just because that's my personal thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it definitely was unique and cool.
Yeah. What about you, Megan?
I was trying to think, actually. And
JRPGs.
There are enough JRPGs to go around.
No, I'm just saying it.
It's just innovation. Yeah. There have been, I've played a couple that were actually really cool. The World Ends With You was really cool. And I like VanillaWare games, so I really like Odin Sphere and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, JRPGs do need an upgrade in terms of, like, everyone's like, ah, Dragon Quest IX was, you know, so much fun. It's like every other Dragon Quest except 8, which is why I loved 8 so much, because there's another good PS2 game that I should have mentioned. It was Dragon Quest 8. Really good. But yeah, I don't know. It would be nice to have a slight spin on all these action adventure games like God of War and Devil May Cry, because, you know, Castlevania Lords of Shadow is an example of, you know, like too many copies going around, like Dante's Inferno and stuff like that. It's like, you know, let's take it to the next level, whatever that might be.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, games just need to be really, video games in general, like the industry needs to be really cautious of constantly, or conscious of constantly regurgitating these sequels, because, I mean, if you just look to Hollywood, I mean, there's a great example of an industry that's really struggling. Because yet all they do is keep busting out with these rehashes, and they're not and behind the scenes, although they make money, it sounds like it's a lot of money, but they also spend a lot of money to make those movies. Do. And, you know, they're really at this, and it costs a lot to go to the theater, and people just aren't into it because they've got these great home systems now. It's the industry for them is kind of suffering a little bit, and they're caught in this loop where it's like, the only ones that are making money are the ones that they're rehashing, but at the same time, they're not making as, you know, it's just kind of like, it's also killing that creativity, thus killing, like, do you want to go to see anything recently? Like, with the exception of maybe one or two films?
Yeah.
There's not like a big pull.
Yeah, there's one movie I haven't seen Social Network yet, and I'd like to go see that.
And that's an exceptionally good movie.
But the only other movie that I saw in the theater was Inception.
Yeah.
This year.
Which I liked.
And then everything
for a whole year.
Come on. You saw Book of Eli. You like Book of Eli.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. I forgot that was this year. It was like at the beginning of January.
Yeah, it's weird. Even so, out of that entire year.
I didn't pay for that ticket.
Okay. We went with our friend. All right,
well, we're taking
movie.
That one. Yeah. If you didn't buy the ticket, it doesn't count. Yeah.
And everything, if it's not a sequel, it is a sequel, and it's in 3D. So I don't know if Scream 4 is in 3D. I know Saw 7. How do you
Scream
have
Scream 4 should be
and
in
a lot
4D.
Of it. A lot of
that was good.
A lot of it is like a joke you would have bad 3D too. It's just converted, so it's it's not up to. It's really not the best 3D you can see. It's the kind that will make you sick.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's only balanced for one side of your eye, kind of thing, and it's all screwed up.
I had
that
problem with Avatar. Like sometimes I actually had to take
Avatar
my glasses.
Was full 3D though.
Yeah. It was filmed in 3D.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But even then, I still felt a little.
Well, 3D is still unique and different, and it does take your eyes time to adjust. So I don't think that's weird that you felt sick. Kind of. I did too, and I was. You know, I had a good, anytime there was an action sequence in Avatar in the very probably 30 minutes of the movie, or an action sequence being like, even if somebody just walked by fast, I kind of was like, oh, and then, but after 30 minutes, I got used to it and I was like, oh, okay. But I went and saw then Alice in Wonderland converted 3D and that I almost had to walk out. I'm like, this is horrible.
Wow.
I feel like I'm going to puke. Like, none of the 3D is even all that effective. I mean, I've seen better 3D at Disneyland in their little dealio-yos.
Yeah.
Theater. Also known as the dealio-yo.
Apparently.
And on that note, we're going to wrap up. Thanks so much for listening. As always, if you have questions, comments, or feedback, you can send those to IGNGirlFight@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/IGNGirlFight. You can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/IGNGirlFight. And you can follow each of us individually on my IGN. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll be back with you next week. Bye-bye.